This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
While everyone's talking about Justice League and the Punisher, we're here to talk about the only thing that matters, Aftershock Comics. Welcome to Aftershock Central Podcast. I'm Martin, and with me, my brother from another mother, Ronnie Barron.
What's up?
The sky. Justice League is what's up.
Yes.
I lied in the intro. We're just going to talk about Justice League today.
Well, that's fine.
No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. I lied.
I wonder, did Donny Cates write that? Is that why it's so good?
He must have. He must have. I'm going to start a petition for Marvel to give Donny a break on his contract so he can write Batman for DC. Thanks. Thanks, DC. Thanks, Donny Cates. Thanks, Aftershock. Thanks, Marvel. Donny Cates 2020.
2020? Is he old enough?
Oh, surely he is. Dude,
he is like my age or whatever.
Yeah, I think he's about our age.
Yeah.
He's probably in between you and I.
Yeah.
I would think. Anyways, God, I do love me some Donny Cates. You read Doctor Strange, right?
Yes, I did.
God, that was so good.
Yep.
I gotta say, I'm really glad he's doing this Aftershock book because, I'll take as much as I can get.
That's right.
Donny is one of those guys, dude. Donny's been in comics for forever, man. Mm-hmm. And just now, he's getting to do whatever the hell he's always kind of done whatever the hell he wants, you know. Yeah. I mean, have you ever read Ghost Fleet?
I knew you were gonna say that. You beat me to it. I might have read it once or twice, I don't know.
Yes, if you've never read Ghost Fleet, check out Ghost Fleet. It's freaking awesome. It's like a 80s action movie in a comic book.
Yep.
But he's been around for forever. He's been with Marvel, and he, if I remember correctly, he was helping doing, like, story treatments and stuff for Valiant when they relaunched.
Yes, that is correct.
Yep.
He's the one that signed Sparky's cover that Dewan had, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Because he was like, he didn't want to, because he was like, I didn't even have anything to do with this book. And Dinesh was like, oh, it's fine, go ahead.
Yeah. God, Donnie's awesome. Donny is awesome. I've met him a couple of times. He's going to be at a shop. I think you sent me that link, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be in Raleigh, or I think it's Raleigh.
Charlotte, I thought. No,
if it was Charlotte, I'd be there in a second, dude. That's like an hour away.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's Raleigh or Salem or one of those places, but it's like a 4 or 5 hour drive for me. I don't know if I want to do that just to go see Donny. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's Greensboro.
There you go.
Greensboro from 12 to 2, and then Winston-Salem from 4 to 6.
Yep, there you go. That's it.
But it's featuring a Baby Teeth collection, limited to only 200 copies.
Yeah, I know. It's tempting, man. It's tempting. I just don't know. This time of year is rough for me, you know? I don't have a whole lot of time. It's our fourth quarter at work, so we're blacked out till February when the quarter's over, and I put in a lot of hours the last quarter of the year, so we'll see. It's a second though, so I might go. What's the second? Oh, it's a Saturday.
Saturday.
Yep. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. Oh, crap.
Yep.
I don't know, I'll see. Maybe if I can convince my whole family to go and make like a weekend out of it, maybe.
Right.
But I don't know if I can afford to go the whole weekend with my schedule, so we'll see. Donnie, just move it to Sunday. I can probably do Sunday. Just move it, Donnie. Anyways, does that mean we need to start with Baby Teeth number 6?
We'll start wherever you want to start out with. That's a great segue.
I guess it is a good segue. Baby Teeth number 6 came out. We'll be talking about last week's books because we've been busy. So we've got Baby Teeth number 6, we've got Pestilence number 5, and Brilliant Trash number 1 is our discussion for this week. Baby Teeth number 6, Long Live the King, is Donny Cates and Gary Brown. And it was freaking awesome. Go pick it up. Read it. Reread it.
Read it again.
Buy physical copies. Buy digital copies. Get multiple trades. The end. All right. Episode's over. Good job.
There you go.
So let's talk about this. Baby Teeth number 6. Where do I want to start? All right. So there's one thing that's really interesting about this book. And it's the way that Donnie is playing with time in the storytelling.
Okay.
Because the first few issues, there's two different timelines, right? So you've got the timeline in the future where Sadie is in those ruins, I guess recording herself telling the baby the story of how she got to this point. Mm-hmm. And then you have what you assume is the present timeline of her giving birth to the baby and setting all that story up. Well, with this issue, now we have a third timeline. Because if I read this correctly, the stuff with the cult isn't happening now. It's happening slightly in the future. Did you not get that? I thought that was said in the issue, but maybe I'm wrong.
I thought because what happened in issue 5, you know, what's his name? I can't think of his name. It's weird. The vampire guy. He came in and saved the day, basically, and then the only thing that I got, and then now they're going to the cult,
mm-hmm.
or. "Quote unquote cult," and the only thing she says is that there is a really two shitty times, and this is one of them.
So I found it after Sadie's doing her little narration at the beginning. Okay. The story switches to the airplane where it's Sadie, Heather, the baby, and the vampire guy, and it says on there Palestine near future.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a little past what we've had in the first 5 issues.
Okay,
but obviously not very far, right? Because the baby's still a tiny baby,
right? And Sadie says we hadn't known him that long, so we just hop on a plane and go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So it's just barely after what happens in issue 5, and that's cool. I really like that, and I think the only other writer that really plays with that quite a bit is Christopher Priest, in the best DC book of all time, Deathstroke.
One of them, yes.
Yeah, well, one of them, yes. One of the best current DC books. How about that?
Okay.
Because he plays a lot with that as well. But the way that he does it isn't quite as clear as what we have here, I don't think.
Right.
Because you're never really explicitly told what time you're in. You just kind of have to put the pieces together as you read the story. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I think that's why that book is really good, because it does make you think a little bit. Anyways, we're not talking DC. God, Justice League. we're talking Aftershock. So they're on their way to a safe place that the cult has put together for the family. And I guess the dad's on the plane too, but we don't see the dad on the plane. We just see him after they land.
He's the pilot.
Oh, that's right. He's the that. See, I'm glad you're here, Ronnie, because I totally missed that.
Yeah.
But we do see some cool new abilities, I guess you could say, because when the baby gets hungry on the plane, and of course Sadie can't just feed the baby blood on the plane, everyone's going to think that's a little weird.
Right.
And the vampire guy does some.
Fancy.
Some fancy mumbo jumbo and touches the baby on the forehead, mm-hmm. and the baby quits crying.
And he is apologetic about laying his hands on the king and blah, 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 blah.
Yes, 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 yes. Which is funny because he thinks that Sadie's mad because he touched the baby, but she's just mad because she doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Right.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me. He's like, I just, you know, we, I can have this ability that we can make him stop crying. And she's like, oh, no, that's cool. I just don't know what the hell's going on. Like, you just made the baby quit crying.
Right.
So that's interesting. And I really want to know, I hope the next arc gives us a lot more on this cult. Not just from what we see in that little scene in the plane, but also what happens at the end of the book.
Yeah, I'm sure that's where we're headed.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about this issue was the Twilight Zone reference.
Uh-huh.
It was in the original series in the 60s, and then when they remade the movie, I think Shatner is the main character in that one part of the movie. But it's the episode of Twilight Zone where the guy's on the plane and he sees that furry monster. Oh, no. Well, it depends. In the original, it's a big furry monster. In the Twilight Zone movie, it's like a pterodactyl-looking thing.
Right.
But it's kind of hanging out outside the plane, destroying the electronics on the wing. And in Baby Teeth number 6, it's the devil raccoon that's out on the wing of the plane.
Yeah.
So I really dug that. I think that's one thing I really like about Donnie's writing. He's like constantly putting in those 80s references.
Yeah, pop culture references.
Pop culture references. I mean, have you read Ghost Fleet? Just saying. So yeah, I really dug that. I really dug that. Because actually, matter of fact, the last episode of Nerd Legion that we recorded, that comes out as we record this tomorrow, we talked a little bit about Twilight Zone too, so...
The one that emphasizes why you're my third favorite for Eddie?
Is Nelson your first favorite?
Nelson's my second. Julian is your first.
For anyone listening, Nelson's my dad and Julian's my brother. All right. So yeah, I really dug that. I just kind of want to cut to the end of the issue because I think that's where the meat of things is.
Yeah.
After they land, they go to this island, and the cult has been building this castle there. But the castle looks like it's an old, like, piece of crap, decrepit castle.
Yeah, like, literally.
Like, literally, it's falling to pieces, because they haven't finished construction or anything. Mm-hmm. But they go inside, and they have all this, like, biometric scanning or whatever, so they can get in. And as they open the door in the basement, they come out, and there's, like, a full-fledged village underneath this castle island.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to be living.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. It's like a hidden town, almost.
Yeah, it's a whole town. They've got banks and a post office and everything. Like, they describe the town pretty in-depth.
Yeah.
And it's... are you watching The Orville?
I am.
It's kind of like that episode, what was it, like episode 6 or 7, I think, where they find that ship in space, and it's a colony ship, and when they go inside, there's like mountains and the town, there's a couple towns in there or whatever, right. And nobody believes they're on a ship. They just think they're on a planet.
Yeah.
It's a little like that, except I'm pretty sure...
That's a throwback issue, right? Or not issue, episode?
Yeah. I think the original series had something similar to that.
Yeah.
And that's what happens here, except, of course, the cult knows they're under this castle. But they're pretty much trying to usher in a new world for humanity with the baby as the king. And I find it interesting that for some reason they're choosing to do this underground, whereas I think a lot of times where we have this type of villain group, and I say villain in quotes because they don't seem too bad yet, right? But a lot of times they do a lot of this out in the open, and they just kind of want to take over the world. Whereas here, that seems more like a secondary thing. They really just want to be around the baby.
Right. Well, and also when they open it up, I find that peculiar. Easy for me to see, right? Peculiar that they're all dressed in white.
Right.
And I don't know, it's like almost like an insane asylum style garb, because you see some that has like scrubs, and then even the main character has like a lab coat-ish
yep
on, And besides Dancy, who's dressed in purple, and then this character who has a red dress on, everybody else is basically dressed in all white.
Right. Well, and that's why it gives you that cult feeling, right? Because a lot of cults, like, they'll wear just plain white robes, pretty much.
Because you have to strip away the person, or your own individuality.
Correct. Correct. So everyone looks the same, except for the vampire and this one character.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about that one character. Because I think Aaron had posted something in our Discord chat about it. Or maybe it was you. I can't remember. Or Jax? Was it Jack? I don't know. Somebody was talking about it. They were a little confused. What I got out of it is that that's Sadie's mom.
Sadie and Haley's mom. Yeah, that's what I got out of it, too.
Which leads me to ask a bunch of more questions. Mm-hmm. Because everyone thought that she was dead. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she's not dead.
Right.
And based on the fact that she's wearing red, leads me to believe she's very high up in this cult. And how has she shaped the history of her family in order to get to this point where Sadie has basically, like, the demon king?
Right. Well, see, and I thought, because I don't know if she just left, right? Or if it was explained that, like, she died.
Oh, that's a good point. You know what? You're right. I think she did leave.
So,
yeah, you're right. Because I think that came up, it might have come up in the first issue when we meet the dad.
Yeah.
That the mom just abandoned them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I couldn't, until we were talking about it, I couldn't really remember if she just up and left one day, or if, like, she faked her death and here she is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and see, and I'm not sure about the timeline either, because it seemed like she was gone long before Sadie had the baby. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, this has been a plan that has been in the works for a very long time.
Now, if you look at her mom, mm-hmm. Sadie and Heather's mom,
yep,
it looks like she's modeled after Jamie Lee Curtis.
Totally.
Which would be badass if this gets made into a TV show / movie.
Totally. Yeah, especially now that she's acting again.
Yep.
She had quit acting, and now she's doing the, was it Halloween? Friday the 13th? Yep. Whatever. Halloween. Yeah, whatever.
Halloween.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. And again, that's another one of those pop culture throwbacks, right?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, that was very cool. Very cool. You want to rate this one up?
Well, do you want to talk about after that?
Oh, yes.
Because then we see that, I can't think of his name, the wolf, I guess?
Yes.
Already, he's going to go after, maybe Prairie Wolf was the daughter. Anyway, it's the new bounty hunter.
Yeah, the bounty hunter we met a couple issues ago that we thought was going to go after them, and it ended up being his daughter, because he said he was retired.
Yeah.
But now this other cult is enlisting him to go after Sadie and the baby.
Right.
Except it looks like he's only taking it out of revenge, right? Because his daughter got killed.
Right.
And so as he agrees to do it, he kills the guys that come and tell him to do this job. And he goes off.
Yeah. So is he going to fly the helicopter by himself, or is the pilot still in the helicopter?
That's a good question. I mean, I would assume the pilot's still in the helicopter, right?
Right.
But yeah. He's kind of a badass, so
yeah.
Who knows?
The pilot's still in there pissing his pants, probably.
Yep. Absolutely right. Yeah, that was cool, too. That was cool, too. I'm glad they're bringing it back. That's the cool thing about this book, right? Nothing in the book is just throwaway.
That's right.
Every single element that's introduced plays some kind of role in the overall story, so that's nice. Something that doesn't happen all the time. All right, I'm going to rate it 13 out of 5.
Awesome. I will rate it 48 out of 5.
Yeah, I agree. I think every week that it comes out, and I said it on Twitter the other day, because last week, two of my top three books were Donny Cates books. It was Baby Teeth and Doctor Strange. So,
anytime you get a double shot of Donny Cates in a week or a double shot of Adam Glass in a week, you know it's going to be a good week.
That's right. You got that right. So if you're not reading Baby Teeth, shame on you. Go watch Justice League and then pick up Baby Teeth.
All right, Aaron Bell.
Aaron's killing me, dude. I can't wait to hear that episode. And he's holding back on me.
Yep.
Holding back on me. All right, let's go on to the next one. Pestilence, number 5. It's Frank Thierry, who I think he's doing a DC book now, isn't he?
He is. I just saw that the other day and put a... I was like, oh, he's doing Pestilence. But I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I can't either. I remember I saw it and I was like, wait, he's doing that?
Yeah. Is it DC or is it Marvel?
No. I'm pretty sure it was DC. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. He's doing something else.
Yeah.
Is he... Isn't he writing something else, too? Jughead.
Jughead, The Hunger.
The Hunger, yes. Mm-hmm. Dude, those covers are so badass.
Agreed.
I think they've got to be Frank Avila covers.
Yeah.
Anyways, Frank Thierry is writing this one with art by Oleg Okunev, who is freaking awesome.
Yes.
And
Rob Swaggy P.
Swaggy P, that's right. Swaggy P's everywhere.
Yep, he's a colorist.
Yes. So here we get a little more, a little origin story about how the zombie apocalypse began in the Dark Ages. And it turns out that the Catholic Church is at fault. Because they found the devil and pissed the devil off, and the devil said, screw you, I'm going to turn you into zombies.
Yep.
That's pretty much how it... I mean, that's not quite how it is, but...
Right.
That's pretty much how it went. And it was really well done. You know what I like? I really like this time period. Dark Ages, yeah. Medieval stuff, I really love.
Yeah.
Especially when you have really dark and gritty stories of this time. Like, the mythological stuff is cool, right? So, I mean, we talk a little bit about that when we talk about Unholy Grail, where I like the mythology that rises up, but the reality of the time from the history that I've read is much more interesting because it is so dark. And it seemed like everyone was just... I'm about to cuss. I apologize. Everyone was like as asshole as you can be. You know what I'm saying? And everything is controlled by the church. And it almost seems like everyone in the church at this time is just so corrupt and out for themselves.
Yep.
You know? Like a lot of the practices of like tithes and stuff like that, offerings came about around this time, and a lot of it was just to make the like, you know, the cardinals and the bishops and all that richer. You know, you can buy your way into, like, literally buy your way into heaven, right? You can go on the Crusades and kill thousands of people, and if you give a good offering to the church, then you're saved.
Right. And this time is like politics and religion were the same, so that's
right
how we had to divide it later on.
Right.
Not we as in me and you, but...
Well, I mean, me and you, when we travel to time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we revision this shit.
Yeah, right.
But
the Knights Templar stuff is definitely... I don't know if I'd want to live in that time, but it's definitely awesome to research.
Oh, yeah. And it's really interesting, too. It's like, you know, if you ever read Grimm's Fairy Tales or Aesop's Fables or anything like that,
right.
You know, a lot of those get turned into, Disney movies, right? So like Little Mermaid, Sleeping Beauty, and all that. But if you read the original stories, they are dark, dude.
Yeah, it's more like warnings for kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of like nighttime stories.
Yeah, yeah. It's not entertainment. It's like, don't go out into the woods because the witch is going to get you.
Right.
And obviously, it doesn't mean that they believed in that stuff back then, but it's allegorical, right? Because obviously, if you're a little kid and you go into the woods, like, a pack of wolves might hunt you down and kill you, you know? Or like, there might be some pedophile living out there who's going to kidnap you and torture you or whatever. And it's really interesting. And so that's one reason I really, really dig this book, is because you get to see a lot of that sensibility, but of course in a fantasy setting.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because as much as I love zombies and can't wait for the zombie apocalypse, I know it's fantasy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's really well done. And a lot of that sociopolitical stuff that we talked about is handled really well in this book, and I think especially well in this issue. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it too is, I think it works both ways as a reader. So if you're familiar with medieval history, you're going to get a little extra out of it. And if you're not, then this is just like a really entertaining, bloody, disgusting story.
Right. Yes, definitely.
Yep. So I dug that. By the way, we learn in this issue that there's a character who was actually a woman the entire time.
Which you called since issue one.
Yes. If you recall to episode one, I called it.
Yep. And actually, that's one of my favorite lines in this book.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you cussed before I did. Because he said, oh my god, the pussy has a pussy. And like, he's like totally shocked about it.
Yes.
And so then we learned that Abel is actually Isabel.
Right. Right. Which I dug it. I was like, yes, redemption.
Right.
Yeah, by the way, if you don't appreciate profanity, then don't read this book. Because there's a lot of F-bombs in here.
There is.
And P-bombs.
And naked people.
And naked people. Yeah. So... The our heroic team is battling zombies, making their way to Europe, I guess to the Vatican, right? To get to the bottom of things.
Yeah, to the Pope.
To the Pope, right. To get to the bottom of things. The Archbishop gets infected by zombies, and then I think he's also a bishop, the guy right underneath him, he manages to escape and goes to the King of France? That sounds good. We'll do that. He goes to... Well, no, he's not a king, though. He's a cardinal.
He's a cardinal.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of the really powerful figureheads in Europe. Goes to him and says, hey, like, this is what happened. The archbishop was infected. Like, he was killed, and it was this group that killed him.
Yeah.
Talking about Jeffrey and his whole gang.
So this actually takes the point of where this is where the religion and the politics all blur the lines and become one, basically.
Yes, yes. And so, of course, the guy doesn't know any better, so he bows to avenge the archbishop and kill Jeffrey and his group. And I guess that'll lead us into the last issue next month. So not only are we going to have a showdown between people, but a showdown between people and zombies.
Right.
And you know what? As a zombie fanatic, that is really what makes the most interesting zombie stories.
Yeah.
Right? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's Cardinal Price, and I actually tried to look it up because there's some people here that have relevance in, you know, past history or whatever.
Yes.
But he's totally made up.
Oh, okay. Well, then. But you know, like I was saying, the zombie stories aren't just about zombies, right? Some of them are, but the really good zombie movies, for example, are about how people react to bad circumstances.
Yep, those types of situations.
Yep. And the zombies are just like the allegory. Like we were talking a few minutes ago about fables and things like that. Right. The zombie is the fable about how people react to this kind of betrayal and apocalypse and whatever else. And this is something that the book does really, really well. So I just love reading Pestilence. I hope... Well, I don't know how they would do another one. I mean, I guess they could, right?
Oh, yeah. They definitely could. It'd be a different time period, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But kind of like Assassin's Creed style.
Well, or, I mean, they could do it like Rough Riders.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I would love to see more Pestilence. And I don't know how well it's doing for Aftershock. I did notice, I looked up sales a couple of weeks ago, and a lot of the books are really picking up steam.
Yep, which is awesome.
Yeah, which is great. Obviously, Baby Teeth, I think Baby Teeth is a top seller. It's still doing like 10, 12,000, which is really great for a small indie.
Uh-huh.
Hell, right now that number is probably good for even Marvel and DC, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Exactly. So, yeah, I really dug it. Really, really dug it. I'll let you rate this one first.
I'm going to go 4.5 on this one.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how this is all going to get wrapped up in the last issue. There's a lot of stuff still to get wrapped up.
Yep.
So hopefully it's not just all crammed in, you know, for the sake of wrapping it up.
Sure. Sure.
But I'm enjoying it overall. I love the art. The art fits it. Like you said, I'm totally behind the Knights Templar type stuff. Plus zombies. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Why wouldn't I like it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I'm with you, dude. I'll give it a 4 and 5. I love this book. When they announced a zombie book, I was like, yep, don't care what it is. Don't care who's doing it. I don't care if the art sucks. I'm going to read it. And fortunately, the story's great and the art is fantastic. So, well worth picking up. And there's only one issue left, so I guess if you haven't been picking this up, just wait for the trade. It'll be out soon.
That's right. Maybe in time for Christmas.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know. I just made that up.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the schedule, so I have no idea. It might be. It might be. All right, final book of the week. The book formerly known as Lifespanners, now called Brilliant Trash. This is Tim Seeley, who has been at DC for forever. Mm-hmm. Priscilla Pratades on art, and this is her first U.S. book. I'm trying to think where she's... I want to say she's Greek, but I don't remember. But it's her U.S. debut, and I guess co-written by Steve Seeley, because mm-hmm. Steve's got a credit on here as well. Right. Color is Marco Lesko, and letters by Marshall Dillon. And I gotta say, Ronnie, I really like this issue. But
I really liked it too.
But I'm a little confused.
I'm a lot confused, if we're being honest here.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I'm glad I'm not the only one. There's a lot that I like, but I feel like it reads like a lot like a first issue. And I think I'm at a point in my comic reading where I don't want first issues to feel like first issues. And maybe that's asking for a lot, and maybe it doesn't make sense to some people. But like I've really condensed my pull list to a point where I'm just reading like the cream of the crop, right? Even for publishers that I was reading everything of, well, as an example, Valiant, I'm not reading everything anymore, right? I'll pick the top, because my time is limited, and I want to, whatever I read, I want to make sure that it's absolutely fantastic and blowing me away, right? And so for when I read a new series, of course I expect introduction, but at the same time I want there to be something that really grabs me into getting the next one. And while this story really hits a lot of things that I love, there was something missing where I finished it. Actually, I read this book twice because I was so confused. I finished it, and I was like, okay, well, I hope the next issue gives me more, right? And obviously, I'm going to pick up the next issue.
Right.
But I don't want to have that feeling.
Right. Yeah. That it, to me, it seems like, well, like when we started this episode, we were talking about time jumping around with Donny Cates and Christopher Priest.
Yeah.
This one seems like it jumps around, but it jumps around so much that I don't know if we're going left or right.
Yeah, because there's so much introduced, right? When you kick the book off, you've got all this social media stuff, which I don't mind verbose. Okay. But but if a book is going to be verbose, I want all that stuff to mean something to the story, to me. And in the first page, there's this whole thing. It's like half a page is Twitter, or Kidder, as they call it here. Mm-hmm. And the other half is what I would assume to be either like a news site or a Facebook feed or something. Actually both. And so, like, it didn't feel like anything in those panels really gave me anything to add to the story. Like, I understand why they were there, right? Because you've got people reacting to this event that is happening in real time. So that made sense, because I think nowadays pretty much everybody gets their news and whatever from social media one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Fake news.
Fake news. But none of it really added to the story. And some of it just didn't, like, really didn't add anything. Like the 26 times your cat was your everything.
Yeah.
Like, like, I get what Seeley's trying to do, right? Like, he's setting up this world where it's pretty close to our world, but taking one step further. I know the Orville did an episode of that. What's that show? Black Mirror has like a social media thing about this as well. So it's in the zeitgeist of a lot of people right now. You know, like, where is social media going to be in the future? Are we all just going to be liking each other all the time and disliking each other all the time? And like your real life, like, instead of having a credit report, like, is your social media following your new credit report, kind of thing? I get that set up, but I could have seen some of this stuff maybe in issue 2 or issue 3.
Right. Yeah.
So you meet this lady Last Word, who is some kind of social justice warrior slash maybe terrorist slash superpowered person. And she's talking about all the injustices in the world, and after all this, she ends up blowing up, I'm pretty sure herself, but in doing so, she blows up Jerusalem.
Yep.
And so now this whole, like, global thing about Lady Last Word, and, not, like, is she right in doing this? Is she wrong? And I got all that, because, again, I love political social commentary in my comics, but when they don't feel preachy.
Right.
And it seemed like some of it felt a little preachy. And I know maybe that line is a little hard to stay on for some people, especially when you have really strong beliefs. And I think it's pretty obvious from this that Tim Seeley feels very strongly about what he's writing.
Right.
So the writing itself was good, but at the same time, it felt a little too much at points for me.
Makes sense.
The other thing is, there are so many things being thrown at you in this issue.
Yeah.
And I think that was the main thing that was hard for me to digest, because based on what I've seen, I assumed a lot of this would be about Lady Last Word. And it doesn't seem like that's the case at all.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, why did the old lady that had the beanie on in the apartment,
mm-hmm.
what did she stick him in the eye with?
Right.
That made him, because it seemed like it activated him instead of not activated him.
Well, so I'll tell you what I gathered. So it seems like there's this virus that's developed that gives people superpowers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it doesn't last long. It's like, what was his name? Gotham and Gotham Girl in that first arc of Batman.
Right.
Where they've got nearly infinite power, but if they use it, it takes away from their life force, right? And they die. So if they use all the power at once, they're just kind of dead.
Like Spawn.
Like Spawn, without the counter. But and we get some of that, right? Because there's a couple of pretty intense fight scenes between superpowered people. There's the one fire guy and the lightning guy in that apartment.
Yep.
And
is that a guy? Because I thought that was an old woman.
Oh, wow. You might be right.
I thought like cancer patient old woman, because I thought she was the same one that was following her on the subway.
Oh, you might be right. See? Confusion.
But I mean, it's not clear because we don't know the name, so...
Yeah, it's not clear. And the one guy only speaks Chinese, so, like, he never really talked... Or woman, man, I don't know. But they only speak Chinese, and the other guy... And we don't have an introduction to either of these people,
right.
Either.
Right.
They just kind of show up and start duking it out. And... at one point, I mean, they both kind of lose their powers, right? Because they're using them so much, and then after a short rest, like, it seems that they kick back up, maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it is an old guy, because when she's climbing out the window, right before they go to full nuclear,
mm-hmm.
it says, alert, Jim Heller, you have reached critical charge,
release
imminent, and then it blows up.
So. Yeah, yeah. So I like that stuff, but it was a little confusing, and I didn't see how it related to the Lady Last Word stuff.
Right.
But there was stuff that I really dug. Okay, so the fight scene was great. There was stuff that I liked, and I would have liked this book more, I think, if it concentrated more on that. So the characters that work at the... It's not a newspaper magazine... We'll just call it, like, what's that website that everybody, they make all those videos? Oh, God. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They write, they're journalists. They write for this website, and one of them is on to this weird superpower thing. There's some stories they're working on about Lady Last Word.
It's like Onion, almost, or like National Enquirer for bloggers, right?
Yes, but I actually,
that's
the
way I took it.
So that's funny that you say that, because I can totally see why you would use those two. The difference being that in this world, I don't think sites like the Onion and the National Enquirer are fake news. I think like that's reality.
That's the norm.
Yeah. BuzzFeed, that's what I'm thinking of. It's kind of like BuzzFeed. Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Because they're making, like, all these articles about lists, right? Like, they have one thing, and she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this article. And the girl's like, oh, well, you know, this website did 12 things, and you only want to do the 10 things?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, kind of like BuzzFeed.
Makes sense.
But at the same time, they're doing some sort of investigative journalism. Which, I mean, BuzzFeed started off as kind of a joke thing, but I don't know if anybody goes to BuzzFeed. I avoid most of their stuff, but BuzzFeed has some really good journalists that do some really in-depth stuff, and that's only been in the last maybe like 2 years, I would say, where they've started trying to get away. They still do the stupid list stuff and whatever, because millennials love that stuff, but they actually do some really good journalism on the side. They just don't get as much attention for that. And so there's that stuff. And I would have much preferred a lot of this story being told through the perspective of those journalists.
Yeah.
Because at that point, this could have been a really kick-ass, like, futuristic, like, superhero-infused crime noir type story. And you know, I'm a sucker for crime noir.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
So, I think maybe that was kind of a missed opportunity. But I'm not a comic book writer, so, you know what I'm saying? Like, Tim Seeley works for DC. I don't.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Who are we to judge?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. And like you said, there's great spots in here. It's just, it felt not cohesive for me to, like, where I was focused on one thing and then quickly yanked, and then I had to refocus and then quickly yanked back.
Right.
But there's a lot of cool elements that I want to, that I'm intrigued about.
Oh, dude, there's some great stuff. Like, the Lady Last Word stuff reminds me of, like, Anonymous.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you watch Mr. Robot, but you know, like, their organization is kind of like Anonymous as well, and I really love that stuff. I love this whole thing of using science and technology to give people powers. It almost reminds me a little bit of what Josh Dysart was doing with Harbinger in Valiant. Like these guys are kind of like the hardcore, right? Because they're using science to gain abilities.
Right.
Except they don't have as much control of it. Yep. You know, in that book, you can kind of call for a new power, you can get it. Here, it doesn't seem to be that way. It might be explained that the virus can be tweaked maybe at some point, but that's not really explained here. And I really like that. I like the futuristic setting. I like extrapolating our current reality into a near future scenario and how that stuff could evolve. You know, I already mentioned Black Mirror. I love Black Mirror for that reason, right? Because it feels very almost like a warning, because you can see how things evolve, because they don't take place far in the future, right? I love sci-fi stories, but the thing about some sci-fi stories is they happen hundreds or thousands of years in the future, and like they feel very sci-fi.
Right.
Whereas here, it's so close to now and so based on now that it's not quite that.
Yep, makes sense.
Yep.
And it's cool, there's a couple of Easter eggs in here too, like the corporation that Mr. Cromwell's working for, or owns, whichever, it's Lifespan International.
Yes, so, yes, yes, yes.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. I did like
that.
And
then the team that shows up at the end looks very cool and interesting.
Yeah, they're a little odd. Especially that one lion wolf guy.
Uh-huh.
Because the superpower people that we see in this story have, like...
They don't have mutation.
Yeah, they're standard superpowers. Whereas here you have this weird animal hybrid guy. And you know what? I almost feel like I've crapped in this book a little bit. And I don't mean to sound that way, because I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
It just seemed like there was a lot. And, you know, kind of towards the end of the issue, it almost gave me that Alters feeling, right? And if this ends up being something of like a cyberpunk Alters type story, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, agreed.
So, really interesting, and it's cool because I think this is a genre that Aftershock hasn't really done in previous books. It's kind of a mashup of a few things.
Yep.
So I dug that as well, and the art's fantastic. I really dug the art.
Yeah, the art's really good.
Anything else you want to say on this one?
Nope. I think we're good.
Okay. If you say so, I believe you. Let's rate this up. I'll go first on this one. I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. Yeah, I'll go 3.5 for the art, mostly. I think the story may be a little bit lower than that, but I'm really intrigued where it'll go, you know, and I hope this develops into a really interesting universe, and it could be. It has a lot of potential to do that.
Yeah.
I hope it gets dialed back a little bit in throwing so many different things at once.
Yeah. And I think I'm around where you're at. I'm going to give it a 3 just because it's in the middle for me, because I think this is the turning point of where we're going to go next issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it has the potential to be awesome, but we have to dial it back, and we can focus on multiple things, but not so jarring when we go back and forth.
Yep, I agree.
I like not knowing on some things. Like, everything doesn't have to be planned out for me or explained, but when we go back and forth so much, it's kind of hard to keep track of what I was supposed to be focused on.
Yep, totally with
you.
So
there could have been lots that I missed just because, or didn't get references to, because I didn't know what point I was supposed to focus on.
Yep. You are correct, sir. All right.
Like normal.
This week we've got Jimmy's Bastards number 5, Eleanor in the Egret number 5, Animosity Evolution number 2. And we'll try not to wait 2 or 3 weeks to record the next time.
That's right.
So we can talk about those in a timely fashion. If you're in the U.S., I hope you have a great Thanksgiving week/weekend. And if you're not in the U.S., then have a great rest of the week. You can find Ronnie at Rumbar316. I'm at Geekvine. Jack is too busy watching The Punisher, so he couldn't record. But he's at Jack Sutherland, and collectively we're at Aftershock Pod. And be sure to go to nerdlegion.com, check out all the other podcasts, and that's going to be it. We'll catch you next time.